Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
RVA, some feedback and echo there. Let's get that repaired and we will be off to the races. All right. We got a lot that we are going to be dealing with this afternoon. Let me start by correcting our pal Dana Lash there. Dana, in the last couple of moments of the show, was talking about, oh, you know, California's done with Kamala Harris. It's all done. That's not true. That's not even close to true. In fact, just the opposite is the case. Now, you know that Harry, my beloved older son, you know, he works for the enemy. He does. Ah! It's a pain in my heart. I have a little piece of ripped clothing and I cover the mirrors when I think about the nonsense. But all of that being said, he's telling me, because he knows, there are actually all sorts of people in California who are, as we speak, prepping for Kamala Harris to run for governor of California. All right, Gavin Newsom is termed out. The lieutenant governor is at the moment kind of sort of in the lead, but there are a few other people who are positioning themselves to run for governor. And Kamala Harris already has people on the ground in California who are doing everything humanly possible to pave the way for her to run for governor. Now, I'm not telling you she's going to win, but I am telling you this idea that when she loses the election for president, that it's all over and done, and she becomes, well how did she say it, an uncomfortable footnote or something like that? I don't take that one to the bank. Our pal Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is going to be here at 3:35. And we are looking forward to chatting with him. General Keith Kellogg, a retired lieutenant general with the United States Army, 3-star, served as the national security advisor for Vice President Mike Pence, served as the national security advisor for President Donald J. Trump. He is going to be with us at 4:05. Looking forward to that. And it's Tuesday, right? So we got Craig Peterson, who's going to be along. We'll talk about all things tech. Let me share with you, if you're coming out to Politics and Bites tomorrow down in Hopewell, it should be fun. It really should. And I am... I don't know if I really want to say anything more, but I am following the ongoing difficulty that our friend Gutman is having. No, he's just weeping like a small child, and I would be embarrassed for him, but, you know, it's Gutman. So, yeah, I don't to say. Well, Jer, my board is exactly the same as it is as well, so what can I tell you? but, yeah, Gutman, I'm not going to say anything more. Or maybe I'll just say a little bit. It's so entertaining, and it's so entertaining for all the wrong reasons. First of all, Howard really believes that anybody gives a damn about what he has to say about anything. I don't think Mrs. Gutman cares what Howard has to say about anything, let alone, you know, the rest of us. But he drinks such giant barrels of Kool-Aid, and it is apparently Joe Biden-flavored Kool-Aid. It's really, I think it's an illness. I think it's a sickness. I don't think Howard's going to be able to ever recover from it, of course. Because what's Howard, like 70 years old now? Right? I mean, he's not changing his ways. Right? You get to a certain point. He's got quite a few years on me, but you do. You get to a certain point where you say, that's just the way I am. And that's just the way I'm going to be. And that's the end of the conversation. And I think for Howard, that's the case, right? He's a swamp dweller. He's made his millions as a swamp dweller. And he goes back and forth between a mansion and a penthouse. So believe me when I tell you, he's not exactly experiencing any of the difficulties that real people in the real world are. Which is why it's just so entertaining to read these just delusional diatribes. Should I print them out? You know what? Do me a favor. Shoot me a note real fast on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. You tell me, should I print out the emails that Howard has been sending back and forth complaining about questions and all concerned about what we're going to ask or discuss? You tell me. Because if you want me to, I think I will. And even if I, well, no, I was going to say, maybe I'll print them out. I'll print them out or I'll just scribble down some notes. How's that? Good craziness. But you know what it is? It sort of gives you the lay of the land with so many of these demented folks on the left. There's even the buzz out there that they get Kamala Harris to drop out now that she's been exposed as a plagiarist. The New York Times, which at this point doesn't have a single solitary employee who actually practices journalism, not a single one. The New York Times has a plagiarism expert who said, well, yeah, Kamala Harris plagiarized a bunch of stuff, but you know, that doesn't make her a bad person. That, yeah, it does, actually. Well, it doesn't mean that she's a plagiarist. I think when you copy and paste, that makes you a plagiarist. Unless, of course, you copy and paste and you make a note that says, I copied and I pasted this, just so you know. And the person who wrote it originally was blankety blank, or I took this from this certain publication, and I just want you to know that. Now, when you do that, all is fine. All is right with the world. But when you copy and paste and you can't be bothered to do any of the citations or the references or the acknowledgments, well, then there's a problem. There's a big problem. So there's a buzz that says she's going to drop out. Now, look, we got like, what, 3 weeks? Isn't it 3 weeks from today? She's not dropping out. And who would they, actually, if she did drop out, who would they get? Who would they get if she dropped out? It's got to be Hillary Clinton, right? That's the only person left sitting on their bench that hasn't had the chance. Oh, no, never mind. Hillary Clinton had the chance and she lost. All right, well, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe they're thinking, we're going to strategize. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's Gutman. Oh, this could be Howard's big chance. Oh, wait a minute. Now I get it. Maybe Howard is so stinking concerned about the questions and whether Gary Hess is going to be fair. Oh, my God, I don't think he's going to be fair. Who cares? Dude, take a lap, rub some dirt on it. Well, it's not fair. He's going to ask me all these bad questions, and I think he should ask these questions over here. And I just sit back and I think, literally, nobody cares. There's not a human being on God's green earth who gives a crap what it is that you have to say about anything, and nobody cares what your choices for these questions are. It's just nonsense. I digress, though. Oh, isn't he coming on tomorrow with John Reed? God, this is the one thing I don't like about John. And it's not even that I don't like it about John. It's just that John is such a nice guy. He really is. John's like that guy who just wants everybody to get along. He's a people pleaser. I just want everybody to get along. I'm not. I don't really care whether you get along. Isn't that, that's awful to say, but it is true. I don't care. I think we have to deal in facts. I am at the point in my life, especially now, where I say, look, here are the facts. And you can like them or dislike them. That's entirely up to you. That is subjective on your part. But objectively speaking, these are the facts and evidence. And it doesn't really matter how you feel about them. These are the facts. Here's a fact for you. Governor Glenn Youngkin is pushing back, fighting back against the U.S. Department of Justice. The Department of Justice, run by Merrick Garland, another one of these demented trolls up there in D.C., a Joe Biden acolyte, they don't like the fact that in Virginia, apparently, we are not in favor at this point of dead people and illegal aliens voting. Maybe they really do need the illegal aliens and the dead people to vote. Maybe that explains that Bob Hillsworth? I don't know, whoever that guy is, who came up with the, well, I believe all the polls. That's a good thing to cover all your bets, don't you think? Like if she wins, he can say, oh, yeah, I said she was going to win. If she loses, he can say, oh, well, gosh, that's a shock. I'm as surprised as anybody. Please let me talk again. Maybe they need the dead people. Maybe that's what they were counting on. Maybe that's the margin of error. Maybe it's the illegal aliens. They need the illegal aliens to vote. And if you've got illegal aliens voting, well, then I guess Kamala Harris does well. I love the fact that Governor Youngkin has pointed out, hey, this isn't a law that I worked to have passed. It's not a law I signed into law. That was Tiny Tim Kaine. Remember him? When he was the governor, he signed it in law, and since that point, Democrat as well as Republican governors have enforced that law. So how come all of a sudden it's a bad thing? Well, you know, and I know, and they know. Here's another quick comparison. Look at the Republican governors in Virginia and in Florida, right? Two of my favorite people on God's green earth, Governor Glenn Youngkin, Governor Ron DeSantis. Each state hit impacted by Hurricane Helene. Both of those governors put aside any concerns about politics. They roll up their sleeves. They get things done to help their people. Roy Cooper, the far left-wing Democrat governor of North Carolina, he doesn't roll up his sleeves. In fact, he puts the cufflinks back in his sleeves and says, what do I care? That's been the response. Because it's all people in Western North Carolina, and they're not in the right voting block. And I hate to be the one to tell you that, but that's what's going on. All right. 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 324, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday, and yes, Germ, still terrible, terrible delay feedback sort of stuff going on. In the headphones, but what are you going to do? 804 says, Jeff, you guys never mentioned that Mayorkas went to Nobu in D.C. and had Wagyu beef after he did a quick popover visit to the peasants in North Carolina. Well, no, actually, I did. I don't know if John did. I did. That's just the way. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, every once in a while, you are reminded by people who should know better that you're just not that important, and you are just, you know, you're not that valued, and that's the entire Mayorkas attitude. That's the entire Roy Cooper attitude to a whole slew of people, It's insulting. Absolutely disgusting. 804 on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Jeff, Bob parrots the party line. Oh, that's that, what's his name, Holdsworth? I think what he wants is to be like that Larry Sabato, don't you think? Larry Sabato, who heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the promotion of Larry Sabato. I think that's what Bob wants. 804, maybe Gutman can use a teleprompter like Kamala Harris does in her town halls. Yeah, that would be good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff. Jeff, poor Howard just wants what every Democrat wants, the questions beforehand. He must be in panic mode. Mike, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And it's disturbing. It is disturbing. But make no mistake, lessons presented, lessons learned. So we'll see how it all goes. Hey, Joe Moreno is going to be here at 3:35. You don't want to miss that. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35. Oh, even worse, Germ, even worse. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and I promise I still care. We've got General Keith Kellogg, that's a three-star Lieutenant General of the Army, Keith Kellogg, joining us at 4:05. Of course, you hopefully remember that in addition to his distinguished military career, retiring at the rank of a three-star general, he also served as the National Security Advisor for Vice President Mike Pence, as the National Security Advisor for President Donald Trump. All very, very important stuff. Governor Youngkin is in the news, and he's in the news because he's saying, look, bottom line, I don't think that we should have dead people and illegal aliens voting here in our beloved Commonwealth. And I'm not the first governor to say that. In fact, this law went into effect when Tim Kaine signed it into law. So what gives, right? Well, Joe Moreno, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is joining us. Hopefully give us a little insight into all of that. Good afternoon, counselor.
Jeff, how are you, sir? Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is always mine. I am thrilled to have you here. Tell me what's going on with this law, because just as a layman, I'm looking at Governor Youngkin saying, yes, of course we're going to enforce the law. We don't want illegal aliens voting. That to me should be one of the easiest things he does during the course of business that day. But Merrick Garland and the guys are saying, whoa, we're going to need those dead people voting for Kamala Harris.
Jeff, I mean, anything gets me at my profession, it's when it's used for political, purely political reasons. And unfortunately, it's a trend that is happening much more often. And it's exactly what we're seeing here. Why would the federal government want to do anything to make people less confident in the protections around our state level elections? And yet, exactly what's happening. At the same time, we have millions of illegal immigrants coming into the country. We have blue states like California barring any effort to require voter ID in that state. And then you have the Commonwealth of Virginia, where, as you point out, Governor Youngkin is implementing a law that's been on the books for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now, 25 days before the election, the Justice Department's actually Virginia from applying its own law, which simply says that the state should be doing an ongoing sweep to screen people who are not citizens from voting. And it's done by a simple questionnaire. What we're doing is we ask people, are you a citizen or not? If they say no, then that response is compared to the voter rolls. And if there's a discrepancy, they're removed from the voter rolls.
Right.
And petition it if there was a mistake. They feel it was done improperly. So there's all kinds of protections here. But the idea that you would want to integrity of the election weeks before actual election day. I mean, I don't see any other reason to do that other than you're trying to permit as many non-citizens in the Commonwealth of Virginia to be able to vote.
All right. So let's let this play out. Now, it is, as I understand it, it is self-identifying, right? The person is actually going to say, hey, by the way, I want to vote, and I'm not a citizen. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's right. That's right. I mean, no purging through people's records. There's no spying on people or getting people to kind of point fingers and say, I don't think he or she's a citizen, and playing these games. It starts with a self-identification. If the person says, not a citizen, they could make sure they're not on the voter rolls. If a mistake was made and they checked the wrong box, then they can correct it later by saying, hey, wait a minute, I am a citizen. Here's my passport, my birth certificate, what have you. Let's fix this problem, right?
Yeah.
I don't see any less obtrusive way this right. could be done. And yet, here you have the Justice Department doing all it can to stop this. This basic protection of election integrity being implemented again has been utilized for 20 years. And to your point, was signed by Democrat governor of Virginia, Tim Kaine. No one seemed to have a problem with it back then.
So how does this impact me as a lawful American citizen trying to exercise my franchise?
Well, I think it just emphasizes how important it is to vote.
Right.
And look, you which way I lean, but you know what? That doesn't matter. I would say, regardless of who you plan to vote for, just vote. Exercise your basic right as an American to show every 2 or 3 years to be at the head of our executive branch and representing us in Congress.
Here's the thing, though, Joe. You're pointing out that it is the person who's going to vote who says, oh, no, I'm not a citizen. And then we say, well, you can't vote then. I mean, it seems to me to be easy enough. It's not impacting me. If I'm asked the question, I say very proudly, yes, I am an American citizen. I fully intend to vote. So what standing is there for Merrick Garland and the DOJ to even come up and say, oh, we just don't like this? Because regardless of how you slice it, man, it just comes across as pure, crass politics.
Implementing a provision law, a federal law from 1993, prevents last minute, which means within 90 days of election day, purging of voter rolls. That's what they're saying. So basically, it was designed to prevent mischief.
Yeah.
Designed to prevent last minute changes, how you register, last minute changes on what kind of ID is required. Right. The idea is that you have the rules in place across states, right? The states carry out elections, even for federal office, and you can't change the rules at the last minute. Fine, right? No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what's happening here is a law that was passed in 2006 that calls for an ongoing process. It's not that Governor Youngkin just all of a sudden said, yeah, you know what? Now we're going to use this law that's been sitting around for all these years. No, he did issue an executive order in August saying, make sure this law is being enforced, right, to the Board of Elections. But again, that's always the case. It's supposed to be ongoing when people register. And that's what the DOJ is hanging on. They're hanging on the idea that he ensured in the run of the election that the existing law is enforced. And that's saying, well, wait a minute, it's too close to an election, we're going to stop. And they know darn well there's no way this case is being resolved in 3 weeks, right? It's a Hail Mary. We're going to put a stop to it now. And by the time it's resolved, well beyond Election Day, well, probably doesn't really matter because we've basically made our point in terms of, one, making a political argument that they're not going to stand for states actually trying to preserve the integrity of their elections. It's probably a nod to the left. Say, hey, look, the Biden system is doing its part.
Yep.
To make sure that Kamala with, as we've spoken about many times, the plethora of criminal prosecutions, which, thankfully, against President Trump, by one have been falling apart.
Yeah. It's craziness. Joe, I appreciate you being here, man. I really, really do. That is Joe Moreno. Joe, as you know, is the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. It's absolutely appalling to see, to hear, to experience what Joe Biden's White House is doing, what Merrick Garland's Department of Justice is doing. This is nothing more, nothing less than an exercise in left-wing politicking. It's ugly. It is absolutely, positively ugly. And it's wrong. And yet there it is. There it is. So once again, kudos to Governor Youngkin for standing strong on this. Attorney General Jason Meares, I'm sure, is going to be pushing back. I'm sure he's looking forward to pushing back on this. It's just outrageous. 345, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We've got Lieutenant General retired Keith Kellogg joining us at 4:05. Keith Kellogg, as you hopefully recall, I'm sure that you do, he is somebody who served as the National Security Advisor for Vice President Michael Trump. Michael Pence. Yeah, it's really a bizarre situation that we are in, where we see what's going on, and you know that someone like, Kamala Harris, who was part of a coup within the White House to ditch Joe Biden, is now putting forward some of the ugliest ideas. Let me share this one with you, because this one, I thought, man, you can't be this desperate, and guess what? I was wrong. She is, in fact, this desperate. Now, I'm looking at the official Kamala Harris feed. Kamala Harris will create, quote, an opportunity agenda for black men. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Kamala Harris will provide 1 million loans that are completely, fully forgivable, up to $20,000 for black entrepreneurs to start a business. So that's $20 million you're somehow going to find, I don't know, in your purse that you're going to loan. It's only for black men, right? I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. Nobody else, I can't apply for it because I'm a white guy. Well, okay, that certainly sounds just completely American. Kamala Harris will also support education, training, and mentorship programs that lead to good-paying jobs for black men, including pathways to become teachers. Well, I mean, that's a wonderful idea overall, but why would you limit it strictly to black men? Well, what about black women? What about black women who say, man, I would love to be a school teacher. I would love to have some sort of training or mentorship. I don't know why you would exclude anybody. It's America. Kamala Harris also says she will protect cryptocurrency investments so black men who make them know that their money is safe. Could you start with me? Now, I know I'm not a black man, but I don't understand cryptocurrency. And from the sounds of it and the feel of it, I am being left on the sidelines. Shouldn't I have some sort of education on cryptocurrency? Is it only black men who don't understand cryptocurrency? Because I'm sitting here again just as a white dude, and I'm telling you, I don't understand it. And I don't know how I would, I've got a financial guy, so maybe I don't have to care or worry about it, but I would think I would have to care and worry about it. Kamala Harris says she will launch a national health initiative focused on the illnesses that disproportionately impact black men. Well, the two top illnesses that disproportionately impact black men, sickle cell anemia and hypertension. That's the fact. There are a variety of programs designated to address, educate folks about sickle cell anemia. Hypertension, high blood pressure, things of that sort. You'll recall that somebody wished a heart attack on a certain member of the Supreme Court. That doesn't seem all that fair. Legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Okay. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 406, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. The weather seems, kind of iffy, but it's not bad, actually. The rain has let up. and that's a good thing. Tomorrow night is Politics and Pints. Again, I'm hoping that you've got your tickets. It's been sold out for quite some time. And I think it's going to be the last time we're going to be in Hopewell, certainly for the foreseeable future. Remember what the idea of this whole thing was from the beginning, was to take it on the road, move it around various and sundry parts of Central Virginia. So we've been there at the Beacon Theater. This is going to be the third time we're there. Oh, and there's also a dispute. Now, Jeremy, you said it's the eighth time that we're doing politics.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Pines. John Reed was telling me this morning it's the ninth time. And I don't actually keep track of these things, so I don't know. But it's either the eighth time or the ninth time. Either way, it's a good time. We will have a good time, I'm sure of that. We'll discuss all of the big issues. Now, I am concerned. I am very, very concerned with the national security of this nation. I mean, I'm just going to tell you flat out. I think we are in a terrible, terrible strait right about now. I think that It's just difficult, and I'm hoping that President Trump is returned to the Oval Office and gets things straightened up. A couple of weeks back, I was out at Liberty University. My dear friend Dave Brandt puts on the CEO Summit, and Dave said, hey, why don't you come out for this? It's going to be a great thing. You're going to be my personal guest, basically. We're going to include you in this, and I had the opportunity to just listen to some of the most brilliant people I have ever heard. And Keith Kellogg is one of those guys. Now, I familiar, obviously, with Keith Kellogg's services, national security advisor to Vice President Pence and as national security advisor to President Trump, retired lieutenant general out of the Army, 3-star, and he's with us this afternoon. General, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Good to be with you today.
Oh, my goodness. The pleasure is mine. I just want us to jump into this because I can just sit back and listen to you explain everything as I did a couple of weeks back out at Liberty. Just how dangerous a situation are we in right now when we talk about the national security setting?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, it's really pretty bad. What I mean by that is I've never seen a situation like this in my lifetime. And I think you have to go back to 1938, back to Munich Security, back to Munich when Chamberlain came out of that and said, well, it's going to be peace in our time with the Germans. And within a year, the world was at war. And the reason I say that is there's really no controlling things going on right now. You see a lot of things happening with no basically ability to manage it at all. You look at the Middle East right now, there's a rather significant regional war going on. And I can paint you a scenario where that could erupt almost overnight into a major war. I can show you the same thing in the middle of Europe when you've got Ukraine and Russia fighting a war that people do not understand how significant that war is. I mean, this is a war that right now the belief is that the Russians have lost 600,000, according to a British report just the other day, 600,000 dead or wounded. You know, this is a nation when they were the Soviet Union lost 18,000 in Afghanistan and left it. You know, the United States left Vietnam after losing 60,000. You started 600,000. And the Ukrainians have lost about 120,000. The Russian army in the field is right now the size of the entire active United States army. You've got a major war being fought there. Then you switch over to the Pacific. And you've got an emergent China, which is really pushing the envelope right now with Taiwan. Yeah. And what they're trying to do, both economically and diplomatically and military. You look at North Korea right now, and who knows what they're doing, but they're doing some really strange things right now. Oh, by the way, the reports are they're providing 20,000 combat soldiers for the Russians to use against Ukrainians. And then you look at everything that's happened in our southern border, which is a national security issue as well. It's a broken border, and it's causing massive problems. You look at the cartels that are pushing fentanyl and other illicit drugs and human trafficking across our border. That's going to have to be dealt with. And then just look at the economics alone of what's happening with the inflation here in the United States. And when you put all of that together, you've got just massive problems that have got to be solved. When we were down at Liberty, remember I made the comment, I said, you know, there's an arcade game called Whack-A-Mole, where you go in the arcade game and there's a game you play, and the ball comes up, you hit with a hammer, it goes down. When it comes up, you hit with a hammer, it goes down. You know, during the Trump administration, we were able to balance all those. We basically addressed each problem that came up because we knew they had to be discrete. And right now, this administration has not done that. So you've got all these problems happening all at the same time. And now the question is, how do you put them all back in the box? And they don't have a plan for it. I mean, nobody can show me, Jeff, the plan that this administration has, nor does Harris, right, to solve the problem in the Middle East, or to solve the problem you're seeing in Europe right now, or to solve the Far East as well. And these can all explode on you pretty rapidly. And I think there's ways you can do it, but it's the next president is going to have an enormous problem. Either you continue what you're seeing with President Harris, or mm-hmm. you start to resolve those problems with President Trump, and none of them are going to be easy.
Well, General, you talk about how they don't have a policy that you can point to. There are many who look at Joe Biden and say he has racked up an impressive record of being wrong on every foreign policy issue during his entire time in public life. So we're probably not shocked. This is an unfair question, but I have to ask it. Is China then the number one issue? Is there something else that moves to number one? Or do we, as you point out, just have to do whack-a-mole and deal with this stuff as it comes?
Yeah, you know, it can be kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer. My answer is yes.
Okay.
What I mean by that is they're all problems because they all are interrelated. And they all feed off one another. And that's the reason I said we were very discreet about how we handled it, because we knew if we kept, for example, North Korea, if we knew we kept them in a box, if we prevented them from moving towards China or providing other problems, if we talked to China primarily economically, that would kind of push them aside and keep them in a separate box. And the same with Russia. Now that's happened, when I'm talking about interrelated, you see this relationship now that Russia has with Iran, that they have with North Korea, they have with China. You know, China and Russia have got this friendship treaty right now, which gives them great economic support for the Russians to continue their fight. You see what's happening with the allies when they're saying, well, if the United States isn't going to do anything, we're going to cut our own deal. And what I mean by that, recently, the Saudi Arabians and the Iranians cut a separate deal on peace in the region with using the Chinese. That would have never happened in a previous administration, especially a Trump administration.
That's right.
So you see these things all starting to happen, and people are going to say, well, I don't know if I want to be with these guys, meaning the United States, because we're not sure where they're going to be at. And because of that, you've got a total lack of deterrence in all of these regions. And deterrence is based on two things. It's based on capacity or capability. Do you have enough tanks? Do you have enough airplanes? Do you have enough people? Do you have the economic backbone to do it? Most importantly, the second piece of that is will. Mm. And if you don't have the will to do it, you can have the greatest economy or the military in the world, but nothing's going to happen. And right now, the world's saying, we don't think the United States has the will to execute anything. They've proven that. We do a lot of talking about it.
Yep.
But you don't see us really pushing the envelope and doing something about it. So because of that, everything's very, very unsettled. And you're going to have to bring all this back into balance, or you're not going to have peace anywhere. Because these adversaries, you know, they're not Jeffersonian Democrats. They're not friends. And they're going to keep pushing the envelope until somebody says, okay, this is enough.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the longer it goes, the more hard your response is going to be, which means you're going to have to, instead of a rather simple response, it's going to have to be a very complex response that is generally going to have to be a combination of economic, political, and military.
General Keith Kellogg is joining us. General Kellogg served as the National Security Advisor for President Trump, for Vice President Pence. General, you've had a long and distinguished career. If President Trump called you up tomorrow and said, well, we've got this thing in the bag and we're putting the band back together, you available?
Well, you know, Jeff, the comment I make is when a president asks you a question, there's always two responses. The first response is yes, and the second response is yes, sir. You know, the fact is, you know, it's always an honor to serve. It's a privilege to serve because you're serving for the nation. And he will bring it. I am absolutely convinced that, and he has admitted that there were some mistakes that the Trump administration made early on personnel. He's not going to make the same mistake, and I believe him. And part of those were simply because, you know, there's no book out there, Jeff, that says, you know, there's this dummy series, you know, math yes. for dummies or right. computers for dummies. There's no book out there that says presidents for dummies. You learn it on the road. You know, when you get out there, you go through each step with it. And so do his advisors. So it's a tough process. Well, he's now read the book. He's mastered yep. the book, and so yep. so. His advisors as well, and it'll be a different story because of that. But it's always a privilege and honor to serve, and that's what the president asked. If he does ask, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would actually say, sure, this is a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, one, because he's so much fun to be with, which he really is. I mean, to start, you know, very candidly, Jeff, and I've been with him since 2015. Right. You know, he's a really brilliant guy, and he's got a great sense of humor. He's got a great attitude. A lot of things you see publicly is not the way he really is behind closed doors. But he really has the nation at heart, and he really has, and he has his own good heart. And I saw that spending 4 years. You know, I spent every day. I came in on the 20th of January on 2017, and I left on January 20th in 2021, when we walked out the door. Mm-hmm. So I've seen it all, spent every single day with him in close, kind of know, you know, what's to be expected and what's not expected. So we'll see where it goes. I've got my fingers crossed.
Right.
You know, I've got all my religious beads all over my place, and we'll see where okay. it goes.
Well, I'll tell you something, General. You talk about how he is behind closed doors, and there are some of us who've had the opportunity just to meet him one or two times, have him in a conversation once or twice. The word that I used after spending some time with him, General, was gracious. And there were people that looked at me like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, my God,
yeah.
He was the most, again, gracious, hospitable, friendly sort of a guy. And I thought, well, I love you, man. You tell me what you need and where you need it, and I'm on board.
You know, Jeff, I'll tell you one quick story. I remember being in the middle of COVID. I walked in the Oval Office with him, and we were just standing. I just kind of leaned against the couch, and we were talking. And he looked at me, he goes, you know, I just want people to get better.
Yeah.
Just like that. I said, you know, sir, stop right there. You go out right now and say exactly that in the press room right now. And he goes, no, it shows weakness. Oh, God. Okay. You know? But that's the way he is, you know? And I used to see him do things like that. You know, I'd travel with him on Air Force One or Marine One. We'd talk and everything else. And all of us saw that in him. I mean, you know, yeah. You know what I do? I tell people, you know, because a lot of times there's a lot of times the women in the audience don't support him. I said, look, let me just lay something out to you. You tell me where I'm wrong. You know, Donald J. Trump has been married three times. Ivana has since passed away, but all three of the wives adore him. Okay, they love him. He has five children from each of the marriages. His latest, of course, is marrying with Melania.
Right.
Look at those kids. Look at the way they've grown up. Look at the way their attitude is. And they all adore him. Okay, if you're a parent and you've got kids that do that from three different marriages, mixed marriages, are we missing something? Is he there's something about the quality of this man that you may have missed? And that's what I tell people, okay? You know, even Reagan's family didn't get along. But look,
right.
I look at those five kids, and they all get along well. They all hang in there together. Trump loves them, and they love him. So you tell me, where am I missing? What am I missing on this one?
I don't think you're missing a thing, General. I think you've hit it just spot on. You hit it out of the park. Number one, let me thank you for making some time today. And I know we're only 21 days to the election. I'd love to get you back if you have the time. I don't want to be a pain in the rear end. And I do want to tell you that on that one particular panel you were part of, it was a unanimous decision by you guys on the stage that a message to Garcia was mandatory reading. And I just want to let you know, I ordered that sitting in the audience. I've since finished it, and I'm ordering another copy to send out to my son in California because he's got to read it as well.
Yeah, it's
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's a quick read, but it's mission type orders, and that's what you want, people with initiative to get the job done with a little bit of information. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is great stuff. General,
By the way, Jeff, anytime you call, I'd be more than happy, Jeff, to come on anytime you want.
I love it. Well, we're going to get you back. Thank you for your service to this nation. I say that on behalf of my children as well as myself, and I look forward to chatting again soon. God bless you, General. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That is General Keith Kellogg. And you want to talk about one of the good guys? He's one of the good guys. He's a guy who has dedicated his entire life to service, to the service of this nation. And the things that he's done, the things that he's accomplished are just off the charts. And he's got a lot of lessons about President Trump. We're going to get him back, Germ. Let's make sure we do that as we get closer to the election. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday, and I do apologize if I seem, slightly distracted here. We got some technical issues today. All right, we got a lot of other stuff that we're dealing with as well. Some interesting texts coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. I am reading through Craig Peterson's weekly newsletter, and I at times am thinking I need to always wear a baseball cap and maybe a face mask, because apparently everything is looking at me, and I'm not alone. Craig is joining us. Craig, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Hey, you're welcome, but you can take the aluminum foil out of the inside of your baseball cap.
I can? Are you sure? I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. Today is one of those days where we could use somebody with your technical skill and to come in and wave your magical wand. But let us talk, because I'm looking at the license plate readers and I'm thinking that's just to help us find stolen cars and everything else. But now you're telling me, ha ha, not so fast.
Yeah, this is a very big deal that most people aren't aware of. You've probably seen police cars with these cameras on them. There's like a camera on every corner of the car, and they're driving along the streets. They do them on tow trucks as well. In fact, they pay individuals to drive around with cameras on their cars. You can make $4,000 a month doing that, because what they're looking for, supposedly, right, is the cars that might have people miss payments, they're being repossessed. So it'll notice the car, right? And it sees the license plate, it reports it, and then the tow truck comes out, tows the car, and you get a bonus.
Okay.
So that's what you were thinking, and that's what most people think. I can see that, right?
Okay.
Well, here's the sad truth of it. Those cameras are cameras. Right, the cameras aren't smart and zoom in on the license plate number, take a picture just of that number. No, the camera's taking a picture of everything in its field of view. And it's also recording the GPS location and using an atomic clock to accurately tag exactly when the picture was taken. So it knows when it was taken, where it was taken. It's got this wide field picture. So now they're feeding all of these pictures into AIs. And the AIs are looking for any text that's in that picture. Now, that text can be the license plate number. It can identify license plate number quite reliably.
Right.
But as it turns out, those scanners and the software behind it, made by a company, a subsidiary of Motorola, by the way, is also reading and recording your bumper stickers, recording your your T-shirts? What's on your T-shirt? What a sign that's on your lawn in your front window? You remember that? That I think I was in Georgia. There was I think it might have been a sheriff. I can't remember the exact details, but he said we need to you to write down the addresses of anybody with a Kamala Harris sign in her front yard because these people just they're not thinking straight.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Guess what? With this stuff, a lady who's an investigative reporter got her license in New York State to be a private investigator. Okay. And then she gained access by that to this database to find people, right? Skip trace and other things.
Sure.
And she was able to put in names of people, of politicians, and find out anywhere any of these literally tens of thousands of cameras and now billions of photographs anywhere it was mentioned, when it was mentioned, where it was mentioned. So we don't even need to have this local sheriff ask you to write it down. No, they can just go because they have full access as police and find out anything that you've had on your car, on your lawn, on your window, on your bumper, anywhere.
Well, let me just save everybody a lot of time then, because in my yard, I have, I had four separate Donald Trump signs. I've given two away to some of the neighbors. I do have my John McGuire for Congress sign. What else have we got? Oh, and then that whole Trump fans bumper sticker. All right. I've saved them some time and effort, maybe a couple of tax dollars. What do you think?
Right. Well, and let's think about predators. Let's think about a guy or a gal who is just trying to find you, trying to track you down, trying to prey on you.
Oh,
they can also get access to this by just hiring a private investigator or talking to a buddy that's a police officer.
Yeah.
So they can find out where you are. Because remember, it's taking pictures of everything. That includes your face. And not long from now, there's no evidence right now that they're actually using the AI to recognize people's faces. But the government isn't supposed to be collecting this information. But private businesses, these data brokers, are not stopped from doing that sort of a thing. So the government goes to them to find out information about people because we can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And so the next step is, the facial recognition component. It's going on and on, and we're just sitting there shrugging.
It's the robots, man. And that's where we're headed, right? These stinking robots.
Yeah.
This may sound crazy, but didn't this start really with Google Earth? When Google decided we're going to drive everywhere and take pictures of everything and stick it right in our hard drive, that was it. And then from there, man, I know it's easy for me to put in the address in my GPS, and that's very convenient. But having spoken to you now for a while, I'm thinking, well, are they keeping track of that? Why would they want to know I'm going to the dentist? Oh, well, maybe some insurance company says, geez, you had a cavity. We're not going to give you dental insurance. I mean, I don't know. I'm just making it up.
Or your next employer, right?
Yeah.
They can get at that data. It's really, really scary. And when you're talking about Google, remember, Google was funded by which two three-letter agencies in the U.S. government? The CIA and NSA. Funded Google as a research project to see what they could get in tracking people. So, Google, the whole January 6th thing was geofencing. It was if you had an Android phone and you were at the Capitol or anywhere around it on January 6th, that Android phone was more than happy to report your location.
Wait a minute. Okay, and so are you blaming Android for this, too? No Apple phones reported where you were? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually true.
Oh,
the Apple has been pushing back against any sort of surveillance operations. You've heard the cases in the news about Apple not cooperating in the most egregious cases where people have murdered other people and Apple would not crack the phone. These back doors. I've got another article I wrote this week in my newsletter that came out today, but the federal government required the phone systems to put back doors in.
Right.
So the whole idea was, okay, we've got this law. You have to make it so that if we get a warrant, we can go and look at whatever it is that's in the warrant, right?
Right.
So sure enough, U.S. manufacturers that made the telephony switches, they went ahead and put the back doors in, right? So who has the key? Well, you know, the FBI does, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out, so did China. China has been using the U.S. surveillance system, but they didn't bother getting a warrant. They just used the back doors. And again, Apple has been resisting that. Now, there's so many things about Apple I don't like. But when it comes to the cybersecurity, they really have been out in the forefront. And I have to agree with them. I've been fighting this since Bill Clinton tried to get the Clipper chip introduced to make everything less secure out there. And, yeah, backdoors can be handy. When we had the Gulf War, we knew exactly what Saddam Hussein was saying, what he was saying to his sons, what they were saying. Because, yeah, it was encrypted, but there was a backdoor.
Yeah.
But now the bad guys, the Chinese, are hosing all of our data out of the back doors of the government force installation, not just in the U.S., because the manufacturers that make the telephony switches also sold them to other countries. And those countries, military leaders and political leaders, were also monitored using U.S. back doors by the Chinese.
Wow. Ah, all right. Well, I'd like to talk to you more, but first I have to close the curtains. And I'm telling you, I'm putting my baseball cap back on, and I am getting extra... I just have to convince Heidi that we need... No, I'm serious. I have to convince Heidi that we need an Apple product. I'm going to start. Look, we just came through Rosh Hashanah. I brought apples into the house. That's the most I've been able to do ever with her, apples and honey. Mm-hmm. So if I can somehow convince her that it's all connected, it might be good. Hey, I love chatting with you. You know that, Craig. I just think the world of you. You had a great piece this week about the EVs and the batteries, and we don't have time to get to it. But do me a favor. Next week, can you – I know we want to talk about the newsletter next week and what you got in there next week, but I'd love to touch on that as well because I just hate the mandates relative to the electric vehicles. I'm with you. Look, you want an electric vehicle? Go get one. I think it's great. Now, the people in Florida who are underwater, they got a lot of brand new coffee tables at this point, but you do you. Hey, how do people get signed up for the newsletter?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I hope I didn't get carried away today.
No.
This is core to me. Go to my website, craigpeterson.com. It's just my name right there on the homepage. You can sign up for my free newsletter and get everything we just talked about and more, as Jeff just kind of indicated, right there, craigpeterson.com.
I love it. Thank you, my friend. That is Craig Peterson. He joins us every Tuesday. We talk about tech. We talk about staying safe on the web. It's great stuff. And his newsletter, I'm just telling you right now, craigpeterson.com, craigpeterson.com. It is free. You're going to love reading it. You're going to be better off when you read it. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Can't even wish you like a happy something or other, except it's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Happy Politics and Pints Eve. I think it's all lined up already. Gary Hess, God bless him. I like Gary. I like Gary a lot, and he's just a solid dude. Always has been since the day I walked at the door. I think the world of Gary. And Gary is always put in this very, very difficult situation. Okay, Gary, you're going to be the master of ceremonies for Politics and Pints. And you're going to be the referee, and you're going to be the bouncer. Oh, and by the way, in your free time, come up with a list of questions to ask everybody. So Gary does all of it, pulls it all off, does an excellent job. He's flawless in his execution. But he always, I don't know why he does this, but he does. He puts together a whole list of questions. And you think about who's on the stage, right? It's me. It's John Reed. This time we got Brian Kilmeade. We've got Dana Loesch. The four of us speak for a living, and we know about the issues. So you can ask us pretty much anything about anything, and we'll have an opinion, or we'll make one up right there. But Gary puts it all together because he's a really nice guy. And the one person who complains and has complained, how many times have we done this, Jeremy? Is it 8 times or is it 9 times? You say it's 8. John Reed told me this morning it was 9. However many times it's done, there's one complainer, Gutman. I was like, Howard, maybe you should take a hint. you complain about all these questions because you don't want to answer these questions because, well, you know, you're an unrepentant leftist. And you are, what's the word I'm looking for? Just flipping wrong about everything. So, yeah. So, yes, he was complaining about the questions yet again. And I think it'll be fine. I really do. I think it will be just fine. Unlike one of the events we did in Ashland, we had, you remember this, Germ? We had a woman who was intoxicated, has such a, you know, a legalistic sound to it. But she had had a cocktail or seven, and she got up, and she was, I guess I would describe it as utilizing colorful language. It was very interesting. Now the crowds, I got to tell you, the Beacon Theater have not done that. The crowds of the Beacon Theater have all been so friendly and professional and respectful. And what I would say to you guys is tomorrow's the night to throw all that out the window if you want. Because I do think as we rotate around the different areas of Central Virginia, it's going to be the last time we're down at the Beacon Theater for a while. So it will be good fun. Hey, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Trust me on this. Good numbers coming out for President Trump. That means there's good news for our nation. 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 506, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a lovely Tuesday afternoon. No, it really is. Weather-wise, I was just outside. And, I mean, it's cold. I think it's cold. Which probably says more about me than the actual weather. It's 59 degrees. No, that's cold, 59 degrees. I think anything below 70 at this point is bad. But It's okay. We do have some rain moving in, by the way. I just want to let you know around 7 o'clock we're going to get some more rain, and that's going to be with us for a while. Thanks so much to General Keith Kellogg, who was with us a little bit earlier. If you didn't hear my conversation with the general, please go to newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com, and check it out. The general will be back with us next week or the week after. And got a few other folks. I don't want to blow the lid off of them too far in advance, but Jeremy's working very, very hard behind the scenes. And as we talk about juggling the flaming chainsaws in the deep end of the pool, certainly a tech sort of a day in that regard. And he does it without floaties, so I am continually impressed. All right, Germ, we got some time here. I want to just take a listen to some stuff that's out there. I want to start with the soggy salad, please. Now, it's cut number three. It's NBC, and who was it? Was this Kristen Welker who was very, 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 very concerned about that? Cut number three in the soggy section, please.
Speaker, that's just what people are going
to
vote on.
Just to be very clear, he hasn't released all of his medical records. He released two letters. Should he release the results of the cognitive test?
It's unnecessary.
Test,
he's said, on display every minute.
So it's unnecessary. Right. You can see that he didn't release his medical records. You don't want to know things like his cholesterol level, whether he's dealing with any issue that we may not know about, if he's going to be commander in chief. And he also said he would release cognitive
Kristen,
tests.
Listen to your question.
Should he release that?
The American people, Kristen, the American people don't care about the cholesterol level of Donald Trump. They care about the cost of living and the fact they cannot pay for groceries because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies have put them in that situation. The medical records are irrelevant. Let's talk about things that the American people...
Hey, Speaker Johnson is absolutely correct. And if you want to do... if you're taking some sort of a bet, like are you laying odds on Donald Trump's cholesterol? Here's my advice. Take the over. I am willing to bet that there's, it's a high number for the cholesterol. Seriously. Right? Lots of McDonald's, lots of KFC. God bless him. Good for him. Do I care what his cholesterol is? No. And you know why? Because I can't afford food that has cholesterol in it. While you're at it, Kristen, why'd you get all upset about his gluten situation? Does anybody know if President Trump is gluten intolerant? Is that what they call it? A gluten allergy? Because I see all this stuff that's gluten-free. And I'm pretty sure that gluten is the primary ingredient in everything that's tasty. So maybe you should ask whether President Trump has a gluten situation. I seriously, inquiring minds want to know, Kristen. That is the most important issue going on right now. The hell with outrageous inflation and wars breaking out around the world and all this other nonsense. No, let's pursue this line of questioning. Let's find out about Donald Trump's gluten situation, because that's going to be make or break for me. I told you I had some good information. I want to share it with you because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, it is very, very good. But before you get to that, before I let you hear that, I just want you to take a listen to cut number seven, the regular cut number seven. Kamala Harris wants us to know a lot of things, including Donald Trump is very, very dangerous. Cut number seven.
That happened by supporting the schools.
You look at black immigrants, legal immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, and he gets on a debate stage and says they're eating their pets. Come on. This man is dangerous. Not to mention Roland. Let's fast forward to right now. His staff won't let him do a 60 Minutes interview. Every president for the last half century has done one, anyone who's running for president. Everyone has done it, except Donald Trump. He will not debate me again. I put out my medical records. He won't put out his medical records. And you have to ask, why is his staff doing that? And it may be because they think he's just not ready and unfit and unstable and should not have that level of transparency for the American people. There's a real choice in this election.
I go back to the question. Is she stupid? Is she drunk? Or is she high? And there are moments I keep thinking we do need option D. All of the above. I got to tell you something, Madam Vice President. I know how to break it to you. Nobody's afraid of you. See, she's operating from this position where she, I think, really believes people are afraid of her. People are concerned about her campaign. Well, there are people who are concerned about your campaign, but not in the way that you think. They are the Democrat Party sycophants who allowed you and Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer and Barack Obama to have this White House coup. You guys pitched poor Joe Biden right off the cliff. You didn't think twice about it. You pushed him out of there. Now, far be it for me to defend Joe Biden, because I think Joe Biden is a complete and total bottom-feeding slug. But even I feel sorry for him a little bit. The people who are concerned about your campaign, I'm here to tell you, it's not those of us over here on the right who are Republicans, who are Trump people. We're not the least bit concerned about your campaign. People that are concerned about your campaign are the very people who engaged in the palace coup against Joe Biden, who now are having a little bit, well, it's not buyer's remorse, it's coup perpetration remorse. It's a very bizarre situation. I'm going to give you some of the good news. And it is really, whether you understand it or not, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to her. Whether you understand it or not, these are the facts. And I have a sneaky suspicion your staff doesn't share the facts with you. Because I also get this sense, God, I hate to say it, I don't think she's capable of the whole multitasking thing where she's keeping track of different sets of facts. Right? And some of us are not. I can't tell you I'm the best at it. Well, I'm also not asking you to vote for me to be president of the United States. I like to stay focused on, you know, manageable things. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are tied today. Tied. When you take a look at all of the numbers that are out there, there's a poll over here that has Trump up. There's a poll over there that has Harris up minimally. But when you do the aggregation, fundamentally speaking, they are tied. That is a terrible situation if you are Kamala Harris. because just a few weeks ago, you had a commanding lead all over the place. Now, here's why. There are four issues that matter to voters the most. Issue number one is the economy and Kamala Harris's efforts to buy off black male voters by promising to them a $20,000 forgivable loan is not going to work. You know why? Because I don't know anybody who is as clueless as Kamala Harris and the rest of her gang trying to pitch that idea. Because I know that every thinking person, be they male or female, black or white, short or tall, skinny or fat, is looking at this going, hey, listen, how about now? How come you didn't do anything about the economy during the last 4 years? You're the people who broke it. You broke it. And I don't know anybody who is dumb enough to think that Kamala Harris and the government's going to walk up to your house with a duffel bag filled with small unmarked bills and go, hey, here's $20,000 for you. Thanks for being you. Keep on being you. It's not going to happen. So the economy is number one. You know what's number two? Inflation. Oh, now inflation ought to be part of the economy, right? That should give you an indication just what the important issues are. I mean, they've extrapolated out. The economy writ large is number one. Inflation is number two. Immigration, which means illegal immigration in this case, is number three. And number four, crime. Anybody want to take a look at all of that and say, oh, yeah, Harris walls? They are totally on the right side of those issues. Not going to happen. All right, we'll talk more about it. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. I know, I'm trying to get all excited, but it is. It's Tuesday. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That's the number for our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 804 says, Jeff, please be gentle with Howard. He is very frail, after all. You might send him over the edge. Yeah. Howard's a lot of things. Now, you know, you know what? Frail, I wouldn't say frail. I would say delicate. 804, Jeff, you are a savant at reading the text line. Poor John struggles with it. Well, I've explained this to you, right? Our Chronic Care of Richmond text line is not exactly, best in the bunch. Nothing to do with chronic care. It has to do with the technology involved with it. So you'll send a text, and I appreciate that. I really do. But it winds up in all sorts of different pieces of this particular screen. So you got to go back and kind of paste everything together. Jeff. Mitchell in Chesterfield says, my wife and son got to meet the governor today during his visit in Chesterfield. I am super jealous. Well, Mitchell, here's what I would tell you. Go out and meet Governor Youngkin wherever he might be. One of the things that Governor Youngkin has made a calling card of his administration is being out and about and meeting with Virginians, right? I mean, real, honest-to-goodness Virginians, you never seem to know where he might be, but you can sometimes get a clue. As an example, with what was happening in Southwest Virginia, what continues to happen in Southwest Virginia, he's there, and to see him with the sleeves rolled up and really doing the hard work is great. But yeah, you want to go out and see if you can encounter the governor. He's a good dude. 804, Jeff, Howard might be on a statin. Well, he might be. A lot of people might be. Another one, 804, Jeff. Democrats are saying they're not sure the election might not. They're saying the election might not be fair and may not certify that. Okay. Maybe. Let's see here. 804, Jeff, politics and pints question for Gutman. Why in the federal government, if you were found to screw up something and be totally incompetent at your job, that you are never actually held accountable? In fact, then you get a promotion. Take a look at that Secret Service director. Ooh, good point. That's Ron. Yeah. Tell me how promising to give you $20,000 for a weed shop is a good idea. Interestingly, I've got a text here addressing that very issue. Jeff, I am an African-American male, and I am offended at Kamala's so-called proposals. It is sad that she thinks that the only way she can reach me is to technically bribe me to vote for her so I can get this free money, only for her to take it all back when she increases my taxes. Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct. Of course, I'm not expected to think that far, am I, Jeff? Also, to promise me that she will legalize weed is the ultimate insult. I have not smoked it, nor do I have a desire to do so. In my opinion, I think Kamala has a low opinion of black men. Otherwise, she would have presented better proposals. Maybe that's why she didn't marry one. That's what Mike says on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Well, that is quite interesting. Okay. Moment from now, I got a few more of these little snippets, and it looks like it's actually Politics and Pints number 9 that's going to happen tomorrow. That's pretty cool. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday, and we got a little bit of rain moving in. Not terrible. That'd be like maybe an hour or two. What am I seeing here? Yeah, maybe coming in as early as 6 and sticking around as late as 8, but not terrible. And then after that, we're kind of back to our previously scheduled weather. It is going to be chilly. This is the thing, though, and I don't know. I heard my parents for years as they got older. They each would say, well, you know, your blood gets thinner as you get older. That's why people are cold. Now, my mom was a nurse. She was a med-surg nurse for like 40 years. Your blood doesn't get thinner. But all of a sudden, you know, yeah. Anyway, just sort of craziness. So that's where we are, but we'll be dealing with that. Tomorrow morning, you heard John Reed say he's going to have Howard Gutman on his show. I am not exactly sure why, but I think it's because John's a nice guy. I do. I told you. This is one of the things that separates me from John. As much as I love John, I really do. And I think the world of him. John's a nice guy. He wants everybody to be happy. He's a people pleaser. I think that's why he likes politics. Right? People have said to me when I forget what I had mentioned. People say, well, you know, when you run, it's like, dude, I'm not running for office. I'm running from office. Zero interest in being elected to anything except maybe the chief burger flipper at some outdoor event, because I'd be good at that. That I would like. But run for all? No. Now, I like serving. Let me make that clear. Not like General Kellogg. General Kellogg devoted his entire life to service. Unbelievable service. Retired as a 3-star general. Do you know what that takes? And then served as the national security advisor to the vice president, then the national security advisor to the president. And you listen to him when he was with us a couple of moments ago, man, he would go back in a second. He said there are only two answers when the president of the United States asks you to serve. Option number one is yes. Option number two is yes, sir. Those are your only two options. I believe that. So I believe in service, but I'm not interested in the elected part of it. I'm just not. So that's that. Like I said, John and I differ in that regard. I think part of it's because John grew up in it. Right. I mean, if you grow up and your dad happens to be one of the best, the most, one of the most distinguished members of the House of Delegates, and your childhood is enmeshed with political campaigns, I think it's in your blood. So that's why I'm saying I'm happy. Well, he hasn't announced anything yet. But I'm hoping, you know. 804, Jeff, Howard is not frail. He's Meshuggah. Meshuggah is Yiddish for crazy. And that's absolutely correct. Howard, and I don't think Howard is frail. I think he's delicate. You know, like a little piece of porcelain. His feelings get hurt and he doesn't want to be asked any tough questions. In other words, a leftist. Right. The leftists want to tell you why you're stupid, why you're wrong. They want to insult you and demean you. But then, God forbid, you turn and say, hey, let me. Oh, no. How dare you ask that? So it's going to be fun tomorrow. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. I think there's going to be some interesting stuff that that goes on. All right. Let me pull up one or two other things here in terms of some of our sound bites that have been around, and they're already doing their best to lay the groundwork for the Kamala Harris loss. If you take a look at these numbers, I shared with you the top four issues for American voters today. Number one, the economy. Number two, inflation. Number three, immigration. Number four, crime. Now, you don't have to be a political scientist to figure out Kamala Harris doesn't have any sort of standing on any of those issues. The economy stinks. Well, I'm a change agent. Well, what would you change? Nothing. Ma'am, I don't think you fully understand the definition of the term change agent. Inflation. I've got a plan to fix inflation. I know exactly how to do it. Okay. How come you didn't do it 4 years ago? Well, on my first day in office. No, no, ma'am. Your first day in office was January the 20th, 2021. Immigration. Well, I don't know nothing about no immigration. Well, you were the immigration czar. Nuh-uh. Okay, fine. But I went to the border last week, and I went to the border. So I've been there twice. Mm-hmm. I remember she's getting aid and comfort from folks like that Martha Raddatz from ABC. What an embarrassment she is. Martha Raddatz, who told us, well, it was only a couple of apartment complexes that got taken over by the most violent criminal gang in Venezuela. Oh, where were they, Martha? Well, they were in the United States. Well, that's a problem. See, if those gang members from Venezuela had actually taken over apartment complexes in Venezuela, that would be the problem of Venezuela. However, they are taking over apartment complexes in the United States. That makes it our problem. And Martha Raddatz says, well, it's not all of those apartment complexes like Trump said. Martha Raddatz sitting in her $2.5 million mansion in Northern Virginia. Now, you know, it's got to be like the outer belt, right? Because, well, the closer you get to the district, the more expensive it is. So $2.5 million for us is something. $2.5 million when you get up into Fairfax, that's like a fixer-upper, right? But that's what the tax bill said on that. All right, so I told you they're laying the groundwork. They're trying to grease the skids for a Kamala loss cut. Oh, I should give you this warning. It comes from MSNBC. So if you are driving, you may want to pull over to the side of the road if you... You have something, hold on one second here. If you have something that you're drinking, some sort of a beverage, take a sip now because I don't want you to do a spit take all over your laptop or your windshield. But it is MSNBC, and I will remind you, I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No, it's okay. Cut number four.
To that point about sort of the nastiness, I'm not going to play the clip, but I just, Alexi, today Trump was in Detroit and said, if Harris is elected, you want to know the truth, it'll be like Detroit. Our whole country will end up being like Detroit. If she's your president, you're going to have a mess on your hands. Not particularly subtle, but that is basically 100% of that campaign at this point.
He's flailing. I mean, like, his pitch is literally at this point, like, pick the white guy or the black girl. And he's asking people who are the most racist of this country to support him and to actually come out and vote, because that's who he knows he needs to get out to vote in order to win this election. Like, those are his swing voters at the end of the day. And that is what is so alarming about this. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting when former President Obama said basically, like, hey, men, male voters, mm-hmm. I don't care if you think that women are weak. You need to reconsider what you think about Kamala Harris and really focus on the facts, because this is not a joke. You know, that's how I interpreted what he was saying to male voters in his speech today, because it is incredibly important, because those are not only the folks who are not only not voting, but if they do go out and vote, they are most likely, according to polls, going to vote for someone like Donald Trump because of mis and disinformation and because of sexism, as we know, with the idea that women are just not as strong as men, as leaders, and this idea that even though Donald Trump is clearly suffering cognitive decline and does not have the mental acuity to be president, he is physically fit to some people, but that is not the same as what it takes to be president. So I think that was very interesting.
Okay, you keep going with that, okay? No, seriously, you keep running with that. And did you hear the chuckle there? The chuckle there not just me. Now, I could barely contain my guffaws. And those were official guffaws, by the way, sanctioned and supervised by the Virginia State Guffaw Commission. But did you hear the chuckle? There was a chuckle there on the MSNBC set as she was spewing forth this absolute utter rubbish. There were people on the MSNBC set chuckling. They weren't chuckling because she was saying something that amused them. They were chuckling, clearly, because, well, they just thought it was bat crap crazy, like the rest of us. In other words, there might actually be a few people at MSNBC who understand just how bat crap crazy the rest of MSNBC is. But you keep telling yourself that. You keep saying that the only reason Kamala Harris could lose is because she's a woman. I got news for you, my friend. I got news for you. It is a very, very, very bizarre, terrible, crazy situation. It really is. 5:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:53, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Now, tomorrow, we've got Politics and Pints down in Hopewell. Very excited about that. That'll be great, great, great fun. And I'm hoping that you have your tickets for it. If you don't, you're out of luck. I don't want to be nasty, but there were a whole slew of us that told you that the tickets would sell out. And guess what happened? The tickets sold out. It's going to be an interesting time tomorrow, I think. Guppman has already begun whining and crying. I think I'm going to have to check with John. Howard is actually ahead of schedule on his griping. Normally it's a week out, and I think this time he started like 2 weeks out. Oh, another success story from Kamalanomics. Walgreens, they're shuttering 1,200 of their pharmacies around America, you know, because they're making so much money. They just don't need all that many stores anymore, so they're shuttering. Oh, another success story from Kamalanomics. True Value Hardware, bankrupt. 75 years they've been around. So congratulations to Kamala Harris and to Joe Biden for killing off True Value Hardware Store. Did you think it would ever happen? I don't know. There was a time when I thought, well, this one is always going to be okay. That one's always going to be okay. And then you start realizing it doesn't really work that way, right? People who grew up with, well, as an example, radio. Radio's always going to be around, Jeff. Well, I don't know. Remember when people used to gather around the big wooden box and they would watch the radio and nothing would happen? And then they decide, ooh, we should put some pictures in there. So they did. Now, I look at it again. I look at it through the prism of my sons. Technology and information and content, they don't care what kind of a screen it's on. They don't. Giant screen TV. Heidi and I scrimped and saved to get a giant screen TV. They're like, nah, we don't want one. They just don't care. There's no affinity. There's no loyalty. Same thing on the audio side, right? Oh, radio is this, radio is that. Well, I don't know. It's an awful lot of consumption of podcasts. Just saying. All right, listen. I want you to have a wonderful evening. Now, we do have some rain moving in, so beware that weather. And then, have a great evening. Hopefully, God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.